Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get into the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit of talk about this week, ladies and gentlemen, what with Jon Moxley returning to AEW, AEW breaking 1 million viewers again, some contracts signed, some information about those who wanted to be released and what their status is with the company. So let's start there. Mustafa Ali requesting his release from the WWE. He did so publicly. And from all I have been told, he has been turned down. The WWE saying they have no immediate plans to release Mustafa Ali from his contract. He has a multi-year contract with several years left, and they have no intention of releasing him. This is the danger, folks. This is the danger of making your statement public. I'm sure if I make the statement public, they will certainly grant my release because then everyone will know I'm unhappy here. Everyone will know I don't want to be here, and that's the last thing in the world the WWE would want, is for the optic that they're forcing me to wrestle for them when I really honestly don't want to. So they'll probably grant my release. He was wrong. And now he's in a very disadvantageous position. And this is why you have to resist the urge to make everything in your life. We live in an age where everything in our lives is made public. There are people who go onto social media and tell us what they're having for breakfast. Need to ease up a little bit on that because sometimes it comes back to bite you in the ass, and it's bitten Ali in the ass now, and he's going to have to stay where he is for a while. And if you think his life's going to be easy now, I feel sorry for him in a way because putting the WWE through that humiliation of having to say, no, we're not going to grant you your release, even though you publicly asked for it, and the whole world now knows, does not put him in a good position. Does not put him in a good position. Now, let's talk a little bit about Ali, because I see people online saying, the most underutilized and underused, he's brilliant in the ring, he was great on the mic. Well, Let's be realistic. Ali is, just barely, is he even 200 pounds? I don't know. But he's certainly a cruiserweight. He was a last-minute addition to the Cruiserweight Classic, if you remember, and got eliminated in the first round. There was a short period of time there where they really decided they might want to push him. And then I think they realized that the pushing of Ali exposed some of his weaknesses. And some of his weaknesses is he's not that good on the mic. And he's not that good at capturing the audience's interest. It's fine to say, oh, look, he's a great wrestler. But as far as capturing them personality-wise, as far as taking that mic and making you care about his wins and losses, he wasn't good at that. He's not good at that. The only thing he ever really succeeded in is when they were pushing him as an underdog, Daniel Bryan type, who shouldn't win against guys much bigger and much more experienced than him, but was fighting that uphill battle and sometimes came out triumphant. Then fans somewhat cared. As soon as they flipped the script on him and made him a guy that you supposedly want to see get beat, it's useless. It never was believable. It hampered any ability he did have to connect with the crowd, and the crowd just didn't buy it. Bringing him back as a underdog heel, then was underdog face, was impossible because you already showed a different side of him, and he wouldn't be an underdog anymore. So, yeah, there wasn't much you could do with him. Now, they were going to do this New America gimmick. I don't know how many people know about that. Ali had started that off by saying, the only reason you won't cheer for me is because my name is Mustafa Ali. I guess the WWE had okayed that angle and then decided, maybe we better not. Maybe we better not go there. And they nixed it. Reports were they came up with something that Ali was very, very unlikely to want to do. And they were at loggerheads. And now Ali has literally announced to the world, I don't want to be here. And the WWE has struck back and said, well, you are. And this is where the danger lies sometimes, Mike, when you make everything in your life public.
Think about this, Marcus. What happened when he got hurt? Who took his spot?
Kofi, yeah.
Kofi, and why did Kofi? Yeah, they're about the same size, but why did Kofi take his spot? Because Kofi has the ability with the mic to make people care about him, whereas Ali just doesn't. That's why, well, I mean, we were talking about, well, maybe you could do this and do that and have him say, come back and have him say to Kofi, you took my spot and stuff like that, which that's another thing they never did with him. But that's why I'm starting to believe that's why they took Kofi and did what they did with him, because Kofi has the ability with the mic to make somebody care about him.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly what happened. We saw the results of Kofi Kingston winning the championship, and it was, you know, the fans celebrated like crazy. That would not have happened with Ali because he didn't have that ability. He did not have that charisma. He did not have that talent of getting the fans to really and honestly care about him. And Kofi's story was much more compelling. He was there longer. Fans knew that it was a long, 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 long time since he ever had any kind of title shots. And there was just a better underdog story there, much better underdog story. So I don't know. I mean, I just think, Todd, that if you are going to ask for your release, you're probably better off to do that in private, one-on-one with your boss, and not on Instagram or Twitter or wherever the hell you're going to do it.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. And he should have done it privately in the boss's office to ask for his release and everything, not to put it up on every social media page he has or anything. I remember back a couple of years ago when Sasha Banks wanted out of her contract, but they didn't let her out of her contract as well.
That's true. So, I mean, listen, does Ali have any hope of catching a good gimmick now or catching lightning in a bottle? Very, very, very unlikely. But I suppose, Sasha did it. So we'll see. I wouldn't want to be in Ali's position. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, Sami Zayn has signed a multi-year contract with the WWE. We suspected he was probably going to do that. Sami Zayn, for better or for worse, I think has accepted his position. And his position is, I'm going to be a lower mid-carder, probably for the rest of my tenure in WWE. I'm going to be used primarily for comedy, occasional win here or there, occasional title contention here or there as far as a minor title. But for the most part, I'm going to be a guy who runs my mouth a lot on camera and builds up the other guys. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Sami Zayn is very good at his promotion. That's probably a strong point. He's a good wrestler. But I think his main strength to this company at this point is on the microphone. And the WWE recognizes that. And I think Sami Zayn has accepted that fact now, Mike. And I'm sure it came with a good financial settlement for Sami.
And you know what I figured? Once his buddy re-signed with the company, it was only a matter of time. Once Kevin Owens Once KO re-signed, it was only a matter of time with him. And look, they missed they missed a chance when they were taught, when he was still doing the whole gimmick about, you know, they missed a chance to turn him face with the with this conspiracy gimmick, because, you know, at one point it looked like he was telling the truth, that there's a conspiracy against him and all this stuff. So
right,
this is another case of, yeah, he's smart, he's probably accepted it, but they've also made mistakes with him as well, and missed chances with him as well. So it's both sides.
Yeah, but at least the WWE now has the opportunity to correct any mistakes they want. I mean, if tomorrow they want to give Sami Zayn the biggest push of his career, they can. So the WWE is put in a position where they can correct their mistakes. If Sami Zayn had have went to AEW and got lost in that big sea. See, this is the problem with AEW, and it's getting worse, by the way. There's an awfully big sea of talent there, and it's very easy to get lost in the shuffle. You've got, what, 3 hours of television? You've got the equivalent of Raw. And how many people do you have over there? It's very easy, and I think now wrestlers are taking a step back and saying, well, wait a minute. Do I really want to go over there? Because I'm probably going to get lost in that shuffle. Unless I'm a huge, huge name, I might get lost in that shuffle. So this is coming back maybe to bite AEW in the ass. What hasn't come back to bite them in the ass is people watching the show. Say what you want about CM Punk. Yes, his return was big. But since then, they haven't been drawn like that. You announce Moxley's return and you go over 1 million. Now, this did not come without a bump in the road, because apparently a fan really got on Moxley and called him a piece of trash, and Moxley had the fan ejected from the arena. Now, at first, I was very suspicious, and I said, this sounds to me like a setup to turn Moxley heel. They left it on television, some of the things he said, didn't leave it all on television. Now, there's a lot of people who said, oh, man, you know, they're going to be so upset about what he said. The network's going to be furious. That's not true, because all of these shows are on time delay. They have to be. What happens if somebody literally breaks their neck? What happens if somebody literally dies? It could happen. What happens if there's some kind of an accident and something falls or breaks and you know, there's a tragedy? So they always put them on time delay. Sometimes it's up 8, 10 seconds. I don't know how long. So they could have bleeped out anything they wanted. So whatever they let slide on the show, they did it on purpose. That much we do know. Now, as far as some people had written me saying that apparently Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, issued a statement saying Jon Moxley should really apologize to the fans. I don't know if Jon Moxley owes the fans an apology for having to go into rehab. He owes AEW an apology. I'll tell you that. He 100% owes AEW an apology. You don't start working for a company and then, you know, crash into rehab if you respect your job. If I had an employee and I signed him to a big, big, big money contract and he ends up in rehab, I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. And I do expect an apology. I expect them to come in and say this is never going to happen again. As far as the fans, you know, he didn't make that side of his life public, so I'm not really sure. I mean, they kind of did because they had to. What are they going to say? But I don't necessarily think he owes them an apology. An explanation, which they gave, he's in rehab. But not necessarily an apology. I do think that that fan had the right to say what he wanted to say. And I don't necessarily think he needs to be kicked out of the arena for saying it. I mean, if you're going absolutely nuts and chanting, you know, obscenities that can't be heard on television and you know, you're messing up the taping, that's one thing. But to just say, yeah, I don't like you. I don't like people who take drugs. I don't like people who need to go to rehab. I think you're weak. I think you're this. I think you're that. Hey, you have a right to that opinion. You have a right to that opinion. Now, Moxley could have just been playing that off and said, this is a great way for me to get heat. He's smart enough to do that. Or he could be that thin-skinned. I don't know. I don't know. But either way, what happened, happened. I don't think it's any big deal. I do know that people are saying, oh, you know, they beat WWE in the ratings. I'm getting a little tired of this. So let me explain again. You don't take one demographic. I don't care if it's an important demographic. You don't take the demographic that most favors you and says, that'd be like the WWE saying, well, any long-time wrestling fan knows WWE's where it's at. Just take a look. Take a look at the ratings of over 40. These are people who know wrestling because they've been around wrestling for a long, long time. And guess who they choose? They choose us because they know that we're number one. You can clearly see that it's just the kids who don't know nothing about wrestling who are into AEW. The WWE don't do that. The WWE doesn't do that. So I don't know why AEW keeps saying, well, in the very important 18 to whatever demographic, whatever, you're a million viewers behind. Don't spin anything. Just say we're thankful that we broke a million. We're looking forward to doing even better in the future. And leave it alone. Why are you constantly comparing yourself? Why are you constantly picking out one tiny demographic, even if it's the most important one, and saying, oh, well, by this standard, we win? We see this in politics all the time. Well, if we go by the popular vote, yeah, but we don't go by the popular vote because then only a couple of states would count. A couple of states would consistently decide who the president is. And nobody else's voices would matter. That's why we don't do it. Well, it's the same way with the ratings. You can't say, you know, 18 to 21-year-old men who play video games and have and are over 5'8", you can't be that selective. You just can't be. Take your win, you went over a million. Celebrate that you went over a million. But don't come with false headlines. We beat them in the ratings. Because you didn't. And fans, yeah, some fans are that stupid. Because I heard fans, oh, they beat them in the ratings. I heard it. I saw it on the internet. It's not true. Mike, they need to stop doing that because it kind of just makes them look bush league.
Yeah, just stop and Let the ratings speak for themselves. Yeah, you beat them in that particular rating. And at one point, I was one of those people that was making a big deal about it because, you know, 18 to 49 or whatever it is us. Is you, me, and Todd and Derek
right.
and stuff like that. It's us. It's everybody. It's just about everybody. I mean, yeah, you might have some people over 50 that watch it, and you have some people that's 12 to 17 watching it, but not very many, you know. So that's an important thing, but it's not as important as they're making that out to be. And, you know, I want to congratulate Ruby Riott. Apparently she's tight enough with Sarah Bridges or Sarah Logan that Sarah Logan made her the godmother to her son, you know. So congratulations, Ruby Riott. And also one other thing about Sarah Logan, apparently she wants to get back in the game.
Well, I'll tell you this. Not just because if everybody remembers, long before AJ Styles ever voiced his opinion that it was a mistake to let Sarah Logan go, we all said on this panel, yeah, Ruby Riott probably is technically better. And yeah, Liv Morgan has probably got the look, more the look. But the blue chipper out of those three, I always thought was Sarah Logan. I always did. I always said, God, the potential of stuff you could come up with for her. If they just kept her that redneck, girl that she was when she first was in the riot squad, where you say, well, she was just like a country girl who's just ready to throw down. She was a female Stone Cold Steve Austin waiting to happen, man. And you just, it sailed away from you. That's one I think, listen, if AEW does need to pick up people, it's in the women's division. That much is for sure. And Sarah Logan would be an awesome, awesome pickup. So, Todd, listen, I don't know about this whole situation with Moxley, but he did, in fact, move the needle. I mean, they went over a million viewers for his return.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like you said about Moxley and everything, he should apologize to AEW, but that fan, he should not apologize to.
Yeah, I don't think he owes the fans an apology. Now, let's get on to one of the stories of the week, because it's made me laugh, and it's illustrated my point that younger wrestling fans are newer wrestling fans. I mean, none of us are very old here, so I hate to say younger wrestling fans, because it makes us sound like we're ancient. We're not. But fans who just, newer wrestling fans who just got into wrestling, they just don't understand, and they don't want to understand the business. They don't want to understand it. Gunther is now the new name of Walter. The WWE filed for a trademark for the name Gunther Stark. That's what they wanted to call Walter. Walter. Gunther Stark. Immediately, the internet has gone nuts. It's stupid. It's crazy. It's dumb. Why would you change somebody's name? That's dumb. That's stupid. Then somebody Googled Gunther Stark and found out it was a tank driver, a Nazi tank driver in war. Anyone in the world ever know? I mean, come on, folks. Your own name, whatever your name is, there's probably somebody who did something that wasn't so cool that has your name. So you mean to tell me that you think in your wildest dreams the WWE said, oh, we're going to pick this obscure figure from the war that no one's ever heard of and call Walter that because we want to associate him with the Nazis? That's just dumb. That didn't happen. It was just an accident. They came up with a name that said Gunther Stark sounds pretty good. Call him Gunther Stark. And then people are saying, oh, well, even if they didn't know about the Nazi thing, why change his name? He's already established. Gee, I don't know. Why change Dan Spivey's name to Waylon Mercy? Dan Spivey was already established. Dan Spivey was a tag team champion in the WWE for a while. Why'd you change Tommy End's name? He's over in AEW. Is his real name Malachi Black? He was already established as Tommy End. This is just not a big deal. I don't understand why fans think this is like the, oh, this goes to show the WWE has no respect for whatever. What are you talking about? They change people's name constantly. Constantly change it. Whether they're established or they are not established. They do it all the time. And to be perfectly honest, if you want me to be brutally honest, which I'm known for, Walter's a dumb name for a wrestler. Here's the wrestler, Walter. Sounds like somebody's brother-in-law. Oh, yeah, here's my brother-in-law, Walter. That's a dumb name for a wrestler. Gunther at least sounds a little more masculine or mean or whatever. I'm Gunther. Hi, I'm Walter. I'll be doing your taxes this evening. I mean, come on. WWE has every right to do that. And besides that, they probably didn't own the name. So they want to make sure they have all of their I's dotted and their T's crossed. Because if they do any merchandising with them, or if they do anything, whatever, they want their trademark, they want to make sure it's theirs, that they own it. So they're going to own Gunther. Now, they dropped the Stark thing. They decided not to go with the copyright for Gunther Stark because so many people wrote them to tell them, did you know that there was this obscure guy that no one's ever heard of except war historians that was on the Nazi party that was named Gunther? Holy crap. This is what I mean about just this woke nonsense. Would it be the end of the world if he was a Nazi? Would it be the end of the world that they portrayed him as a Nazi? Did they not do that with a half a dozen people? Baron von Raschke being one of the main ones? Did they not do that? Mike, this is just, it's creating an issue over nothing.
Right. And, you may say, well, we can't get away with doing Baron von Raschke again, you know. Well, we probably could get away with doing something like that, cancel culture, but being too woke. This is being called too woke. This guy's name is after a Russian, or after some obscure guy, after some obscure tank driver who probably ended up getting killed at some point.
I'm sure.
But, because he was a German and all that stuff. But anyway, yeah. I mean, how many different people have, what's his name? Demolition Axe. He went from being what's his name to being a Russian to being Demolition Axe. You know?
Right. Well, look at the people down through history. Remember when it was Cactus Jack Manson? Oh, he wasn't named after Charles Manson. Charles Manson was in prison for his entire life. Oh, he wasn't trying to make any connections with Manson and his group. Well, he wasn't. You didn't mind that. Nobody went nutso on that. I guarantee you, if you Google a lot of names, you're going to find, oh, there was some person who was a serial killer, or there was some person who was a bank robber or a gangster or whatever with the same name. So what? Holy crap, so what? And the world's going to come to an end if we use that name. Why? It's just dumb. So you'd rather he come out and say, my name's Walter. Walter sounds real menacing. Gunther sounds more menacing. I'm sorry. Gunther Stark sounds even more menacing. There are people who do this all the time. You think Aleister Black didn't come from Aleister Crowley? That's exactly where that came from. His name isn't Aleister, it's Tommy. So why would he call himself Aleister? It's after Aleister Crowley. Look him up sometime. So yeah, fans got to ease up here. Let things play out. It's not the end of the world. They change people's names all the time, folks. Todd, I don't think this is that big a deal. As a matter of fact, I sort of like Gunther better than Walter. I always thought Walter was a dumb name.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I never liked the Walter name either. It wasn't medicine enough or anything. Like you said, with the killer, I remember Killer Cross, the gimmick he did, it was medicine too. And like you said, the Gunther name is much a cooler name than Walter.
Yeah, Derek in the chat room saying, you mean to tell me there's not a Walter who did something horrible? Of course there is. They're so upset because, well, it matches first and last name. So what? What happens if his real name was like Jack Smith? You think there's not a Jack Smith somewhere that wasn't arrested for something? I'm sure there was. You just got to ease up, folks. They're not trying to make him a Nazi. And even if they were, what the hell is the difference? They try to make people devil worshippers. They try to make people dinosaurs. They try to make people cultists. Are you telling me that it would be it's completely off the charts if you wanted to say that somebody maybe had some past history of having ancestors that might have been in the Nazi party? Yeah, it makes a good bad guy. Makes a good heel. I just don't know why you're resisting it. It's politically incorrect. It's offensive. It is? So it's not offensive to bury somebody alive. It's not offensive to hit people with chairs. It's not offensive to say we're in a devil cult. None of that's offensive. It's offensive if you use a real-life situation that there might be some connection to the Nazis. Why? If that's his shtick, that's his shtick. God, you really got to ease up. you all have to ease up, or you're just not going to get what you want out of professional wrestling, because their hands are always tied. It's a shame. It's really a shame. Remember when the, who was it that used to go in and sing the Russian national anthem, right? My God, like we said, Sergeant Slaughter became a Iraqi sympathizer. Everything was fine. We had troops in the at the time over there. Oh, no, it's all fine. Everything's good. It's only pro wrestling. It's only like a movie. Well, I'm telling you to ease up. We have this struggle with a newer group of fans who want to make this performance art, and that's kind of what wrestling is. They want to make it a sport. It's not a sport. Just because athletes are required to do it doesn't mean it's a sport. It's a performance. It has much more in common with a movie than it does baseball or football or basketball or even boxing or UFC. And you need to understand that there has to be the protagonist and the antagonist, and the antagonists sometimes got to be really, really bad guys. And if you got this mean-looking, big, raw-boned dude, hi, my name's Walter, I don't like it, and I never did like it. So, Mike, I think they do need to ease up a little bit and just let things play out.
Right, and think about this. There's this comedian, he's a ventriloquist, that he has this dummy by the name of Walter. And what does that dummy look like? He's thin, he's small, he's old, you know. He doesn't look, he looks like a Walter. In fact,
right,
I had
right.
an uncle that looked the same way, you know. Then,
right.
Not a big guy, you know, not imposing. Walter, well, Gunther now, you look at Gunther, he's, what, 250 pounds, 6'3". He's a very big, imposing, scary-looking dude, you know.
Right. No, I agree with you. It's a much better name. I had no problem with the name they were going to do. And Derek's pointing out maybe the fans are getting what they want because a new group of fans just look for something to complain about. See, while you should be complaining about why aren't we getting the most out of professional wrestling? Why aren't we, as fans, every week thrilled by what we see when you have so many quality athletes? How come, as fans, we don't feel we're getting the most out of pro wrestling? That's a fair argument. That's a fair assessment. It's not fair to pick on every little thing. It's not fair to say, well, they changed his name and that's horrible. Well, I got news. They change everybody's name. Well, he made his career out of Walter. Everybody knows who he is. Well, everybody knew who Dan Spivey was, too. Everybody knew who Mike Rotundo was, and his name wasn't IRS, Irwin R. Scheister. But they changed it, didn't they? So, you know, you cry me a river on that. Cry me a river on, well, on the indies, everybody knows. I don't care. You're playing a character. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that there is no Walter? There is no guy who acts like that? That's a character. And if they decide, well, we want a different role for you, then you play a different role. You're still the same wrestler. You still have the same talent, but you're now playing a different role. We want you to act more this way. We want you to do this. They do it all the time when you turn heel and face. Well, we don't want you to do this now because you're a face. So you need to do this and you need to do this. Kevin Steen didn't make a name for himself on the indies before he changed his name to Kevin Owen. And I guarantee you that if you Google a Kevin Owen down through the years, I'm sure there's somebody named Kevin Owen who did something horrible. So it's pretty absurd, really. Anyway, folks, what we're hearing in terms of the Royal Rumble now, with a few people being out, is that there is a chance that the WWE might open the door to at least one competitor from another company or someone who's not signed with them. Now, right away, this opened up the floodgates. It's going to be Cody Rhodes. It's not going to be Cody Rhodes. It could potentially be somebody from Impact. That could potentially happen. And if it is somebody from Impact, my thought process would be it would be somebody that the WWE was familiar with, or the people that are going to be in the ring with them are familiar with. So that cuts it down a little bit. I know that the probably Impact would want somebody. There's two schools of thought. If you're Impact, you know your guy's not going to win. So you don't want your top guy, because why send him there to lose and make you look like, well, we couldn't hope to compete with the WWE guys. But you also want somebody popular enough so that you can say we can build off his appearance in the WWE Royal Rumble. So some names are being floated around, Mike. If an Impact wrestler were to enter the Royal Rumble, who would you like to see?
You know what? I'm not sure. I mean, you know what? They had him and they didn't use him right. Maybe Eric Young, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see Eric Young possibly going over there and doing that. At least they trust him, right? I mean, the WWE wants to have somebody that they know is not going to go in there and take any liberties or do anything that's going to be what they don't want them to do. They feel very safe with Mickie James. They know, you know, Mickie James is their product, technically, and they feel very comfortable. Now, I'm not sure anybody's going to, Todd, but if somebody did, who would you like to see be the entrant in the Men's Royal Rumble?
Oh, man, there's so many great talent from Impact Wrestling, you know. One of them I like to see is Heath. Heath Slater.
Oh, Heath Slater. Yeah, you know, that would be awesome. That would be really awesome. I don't know what his medical status is right now, if he's back. I know he was injured for a while or out. But that would be fun. To have him come back would be fun for one. And, you know, the crowd would get a big kick out of it, too. You know, the crowd would get a big kick out of it. That wouldn't be too bad. You know, the Royal Rumble this year, I've had a couple of fans say to me, feels more like WrestleMania. I mean, we got two really, really strong matches. Yeah, we do. We got Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley that everybody has been dying to see. Everybody, oh, when's that going to happen? We were promised that. Wouldn't that be awesome if it happened? Well, the WWE listened to you. And they're making it happen. And we have Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, which we know is going to be a barn burner of a match. And I do know this, and I have this on very, very good authority. One of the two is losing the title. WWE absolutely wants, obviously, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania. And they want that on night two, from what I'm being told. So that means night one has to feature a championship match, a heavyweight championship match. So they can't have it be a unification match. And they never wanted it to be a unification match. They just wanted that to be a bluff. So out of the two, this is very interesting. You know, I thought, well, it's a no-brainer. Seth Rollins is winning. But then I thought to myself, that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. Because Roman Reigns could cost Brock Lesnar his belt. Roman Reigns could show up there that night and cost Brock Lesnar the title, which would give Brock Lesnar a reason to say that I'm taking yours. We already know that Brock Lesnar is only part-time, which means he's probably not going to have a long title run anyway, regardless of whether he wins or loses. So it could potentially be Brock Lesnar who drops. It could potentially be Brock Lesnar. Now, I think it's more likely that it's Roman Reigns, but that's not written in stone, Mike. You know, last week I would have said it was, but my eyes have been opened a little bit here because the truth of the matter is, it is true. Brock Lesnar is on a very limited appearance contract, and perhaps they want to go the other way.
Right, and think about this. We still have a good feeling that there's something up with Paul Heyman. Right?
You would think, yeah.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I still think, much like you do, that at some point Paul is going to flip on Brock Lesnar. He's going to flip on him.
Yeah, that's what I
now,
think.
Will it be this soon? I don't know. But it could be. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole host. The good thing this year about the Royal Rumble is there is a whole host of possible scenarios. Brock Lesnar could just lose the belt flat out. Obviously, Bobby Lashley could lose thanks to maybe the interference of the Hurt Business, who he's been dealing with every week. We could see him win. Obviously, Roman Reigns could just plain win. Roman Reigns could win with help from the Usos. Seth Rollins could take the belt. There's a lot of possibilities here. These are all not cut and dry. For a change, we're really saying to ourselves, I don't know. I just know that somehow they're going to get to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania for a belt, but I don't know how. And the WWE's done a pretty good job. I'll give them credit for that. They've done a pretty good job of muddying the waters, so you're saying I can't. I wouldn't bet my life on any of those scenarios. And you'll still get to the same goal you want. Now, as far as the Royal Rumble is concerned, that's not looking too good. Because regardless of who the champion is, whether it be Brock Lesnar, whether it be Bobby Lashley, whether it be Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns, there's only a few select people who could win that Royal Rumble. Very select few people. Let's face it. Who would you want? Let's just say that, let's say Brock Lesnar dropped his belt because of interference with Roman Reigns. So Bobby Lashley now has the belt. Okay, who's winning the Royal Rumble to challenge Bobby Lashley? Because we already know that that would mean that Brock Lesnar challenges Roman. There's not a lot of people, folks. So the Royal Rumble is going to be sort of anticlimactic, I think. There was certainly strong rumors that Drew McIntyre was winning. And now he's out. That doesn't leave a lot of people. I mean, as it is now, they had to put Seth Rollins in Drew McIntyre's spot. They were going to do that one, I think. And then they said, well, we can't do that. Maybe we'll do the Rumble. No, we can't do that. There's nothing they can do now. He'll be back for WrestleMania. He's not going to be back for a title shot. I doubt it anyway. So I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the lineup for the Royal Rumble, and I'm saying, ooh, it would be awesome, absolutely awesome, if the WWE were to somehow pull a swerve where someone who wasn't even on the roster yet, or somebody just called up from NXT, or a new signing of some kind, won this whole thing. Because otherwise than that, Mike, I mean, I'm looking at the roster, and I don't see a ton of people who could go to WrestleMania to feature, you know, night one or night two.
You know what also would be nice, and I know they're not going to pull the trigger on this, because the King of the Ring, who should probably be in the Royal Rumble anyway, got hurt, they ended up putting Kofi in there, you know, as a replacement for Xavier Woods, the Hand of the King, in other words. It'd be very cool if somehow Kofi would end up winning it. But then again, you're right. I mean, could they bring up the current NXT champion? Sure. Could they bring up LA Knight? Sure. Could they bring up what's his name? He used to be with the Million Dollar Man. Sure. Could they bring up, I don't know, whomever? You know, sure. Hell, could they even could they even bring, well, what's his name is the current champion, and he doesn't want to come up, and not Gargano, but the other guy, his ex-partner.
Ciampa, no, Ciampa lost. Ciampa's now not the champion. It's Bron Breakker. So.
Oh, Bron Breakker. I think they may have they may have plans.
So they could have a spot for him. they could have a spot for him. I know that Vince likes that type of person. So we'll find out on that. But listen, it's a mighty thin field, folks. You have to think Big E's like one of the favorites, right? To try to get revenge on possibly Lashley. But then I heard rumors that they want Lashley almost. So I don't know where that leaves a lot of people. I just don't know. If Almost wins the Rumble, I guess you could get to Lashley almost if Lashley was the champion. If Brock loses the title to Lashley and Almost wins the Rumble, then you could potentially have Almost and Lashley and Brock and Roman. So I guess you could get there. But I don't know if they think Almost is ready for that yet. I don't know. Because he's going to have to do more than a minute or two with Bobby Lashley. So I don't know. I don't know if he's ready for that. I know they're thinking about it. So we'll see where it goes on that. As far as NXT is concerned, I'm glad Mike brought it up. Apparently the WWE is very unhappy. NXT's ratings has gone into the toilet. They're just breaking 500,000. I mean, it's getting nightmarishly bad. Nightmarishly bad. And I've watched the product, and I'm saying to myself, it's not that it's bad. It's that you reset it too quickly. And there's just, it seems like a totally different show with people we're not even really used to. And now they're trying desperately to, let's send AJ Styles down, let's send this person down. Now I'm hearing they're going to send more and more WWE guys down because they're hoping that they can create a little ratings boost with this. This was a mistake. This reset wasn't thought out well. A reset has to come somewhat slowly. Introduce a new guy here and there. Start to change the style of your show little by little. You did it like overnight. You literally said, okay, out with the old, in with the new, and you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't even resemble the same show. And when you do that kind of thing, Todd, I think the fans get in a little bit of a like shock, and they feel like, well, this isn't the same show I watched. And they sort of resent it, and we're seeing that now in the ratings.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said about NXT, about their ratings are going down the toilet. Ever since they did this rebranding of this, the rebranding of the colors and everything of NXT, I don't mind the rebranding of the letters, but the coloring of the brand, I rather keep the black and gold brand going, and you know I think the ratings were much better with that as well.
Yeah, and it's not just the graphics, Mike. It's just that they changed the whole thing around almost overnight, and I think it was too fast, too sudden, and it left fans kind of just shell-shocked.
Yeah, and it didn't help that they fired everybody. I mean, the only one that's basically still there is Shawn Michaels. You know,
yeah,
that's
know.
Helping to run the thing. I mean, Triple H is gone. William Regal's gone. I almost said Steve. William Regal's gone. Even the Road Dogg. You know, all those people that helped build it are gone.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that if Triple H and what you call, if they were told we're going to rebrand this thing, Triple H and Regal and Road Dogg and Shawn could put their heads together and say, okay, and come up with something. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that that was the big mistake. They blamed the team, or if they didn't blame the team, they at least said, we got to get the old team out because they won't give us what we want. I disagree with that. I think if you had a really sat down and had a meeting and said, look, we want to shift toward a focus on larger athletes, a focus on a little more backstage and skits oriented, you know, maybe a little shorter matches, except maybe for the main event. These guys are lifers in the business. They know how to do this, obviously come up with something. It just seems to me like the characters aren't so, what's the right word for it? Engaging. I don't necessarily care about any of them. Now, supposedly Ciampa and Pete Dunne have already arrived on the main roster. They had a little feud on main event, I guess, that nobody watches. And it looks like Pete Dunne is getting written off TV with Tony D'Angelo kind of destroying him, and Ciampa lost his belt. So they're saying that it's, you know, pretty close to seeing Pete Dunne and Tommaso up on the main roster. Well, you know, here's my problem with that. Did you just not finish telling us that you didn't want smaller guys on the roster? Now, there's hardly a bigger Pete Dunne fan than me. I'm a huge Pete Dunne fan. I've been singing his praises since I watched their UK tournament. But what is he going to do in the WWE in the land of the Giants? Are you seriously going to tell me you're going to put him in the ring against, you know, Drew McIntyre or Sheamus or those people, and it's not going to look? I don't know, man. You're the ones who said it. You're the ones who said, oh, we don't want that. And now you're bringing him up. So, again, the WWE sends confusing signals. Speaking of confusing signals, I want to invite all of our listeners to go to YouTube and go to Wyndham Rotundo's channel. He's been putting up promos. Now, none of them mention wrestling, but they are definitely oriented toward the Bray Wyatt gimmick, and they are teasing a very rapid return to something. And they're very, very highly produced. Obviously, whoever did these videos are on the same league, in the same league with WWE. Very highly produced, very horror-oriented, maybe even a little more than the Bray Wyatt character. We see a lot of use of occultish symbols, whether it be the goat's head or the pentagram, other ritualistic type stuff, and Bray Wyatt's voicing them all over. There's more than one. I don't know if you've seen any of them yet, Mike, but you can check them out on YouTube.
This sounds like what happened when you know, we first saw that thing from that promo from Moxley when he was going to leave right before he left the WWE, right? And he did that promo, and it was highly produced, and it was very well produced. And we said, okay, who did this promo? Who did it? And that's what we're seeing here. Who did it? And if it's not the WWE that did it, then, and it's not, you know, AEW who could do it or Impact or somebody like that, then who?
Well, there may be an answer to that question. I'm not so quick to think it's wrestling because I know he's involved in a movie and in the production of a movie, and this looks very much like a movie. And I say to myself, I wonder if, well, one of two things can happen. Is he promoting the movie? Is the movie going to launch and this is a promotion for it somehow? Or did he get his buddies in the movie industry to cut him some video? Because it's that highly produced. It's very well done. So, I don't know. The AEW thing, the reason I'm leaning against that is they already have the Dark Order. Are you going to bring in another, like, sort of dark, occultish type thing? But I got news. Everybody needs to go and watch these, because this is why I'm telling you that Bray Wyatt was the one person in the WWE above everyone they released that they never should have released. Because this is a guy who really and truly and honestly understands self-promotion. This is a guy who can get, he could sell ice to Eskimos with his promotion. Yeah, you're right. When he was in the ring, especially as the Fiend, a lot of the times the matches weren't very good, but it didn't matter. Because everything else he did was so cool, and there was so much promotion behind it that it still made you want to see him. And all you've got to do is go look at a couple of those videos, and I guarantee you the very first thing you're going to say after you get finished watching one is, oh, man, I can't wait to see what happens with this. Todd, this guy was a master at it. Have you seen any of these yet?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, by the way you're talking about this thing on YouTube with the rotundos and everything, it looks, by the sounds of it, sounds like it's like a movie, high movie production thing, by the way you're talking about it. I'm going to probably check that out.
Yeah, you got to go see it. You definitely got to check these out because, again, it's extremely, the more you know, here's the thing about Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt reminds me of the Looney Tunes in the sense that, remember when you were a kid and you watched Looney Tunes and a lot of things went over your head and you said, well, I don't know what that means. It's obviously, you know, it's funny, but I'm not sure exactly what it means. And then later on when you were an adult and you watched the same Looney Tunes, you were like, I get it. I know what that meant. That was more aimed toward adults. It was funny for kids, but the kids didn't get the real meaning. Well, Bray Wyatt's promos are a lot like that. Bray Wyatt's videos like this, the more you know about the occult and stuff like that, the more you say, oh, man, he's serious about some of this stuff. Then some of this stuff is, you know, a little deeper than someone who doesn't know anything about it would think it is. He's very good at that. He is a promotional master, a self-promotional master. And you can't buy that. You can't buy that. Most wrestlers can only promote themselves by getting on a microphone and saying, I'm going to beat your ass, and that's what they do. You look at these videos and the way Bray Wyatt presents himself, and you say, this is, you know, it's five steps above. And it was a huge, huge mistake, Mike, to let somebody with that kind of creative skill go.
Right. And he's one of the guys, he's probably the only male athlete. If I'm Tony Khan, he's probably the only male guy that I would think about bringing in right now because whatever you would pay him, he'd make that back within you'd get that back within 3 months, maybe less, because he's so good at what he does, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I just don't understand, and I never will understand. I know it must have been creative differences. That's what I'm being told. But, my God, here's the thing. Creative differences, when some guy comes in and goes, I got a good idea. I'm like a Superman guy, and I just go around punching people out. Yeah, you're an idiot. But you don't give that guy creative control. But when you have somebody who can bring you stuff like this, yeah, you do give them creative control because then you say, well, you create better than me. When I go into to record an album, when I go in to record my projects, I don't give my engineer and my producer complete creative control. And sometimes I don't give them any if I don't think they really understand what I'm trying to do. But if some guy proves to me, not only do I understand what you're trying to do, I think I can add to it, I'm definitely listening to him. Because now we have two creative forces on the same page. I don't understand why the WWE did not give him more creative control. Because what you will see in these YouTube videos, if AEW gets that, I got news for you. You'll be breaking a million every single week. Every single week. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.